All right, welcome back to the Garage Hockey Podcast. I'm Felix Sicard, joined as always by Nick and Joe Berger. It's a Thursday night, a little chilly in Santa Clara, California.
It's
winter is nigh.
Winter is almost upon us, kind of.
I mean, summer's kind of over, but not.
But, you know, we're just going to skate right over fall, you know, but whatever.
I want to really work in the, like, weather into the intros of this podcast.
Yeah.
I feel like it's important for our audience to know the weather that we're dealing with, especially our Canadian listeners.
We should
just had the pointed laugh at us.
Yeah, yeah. We should get Jim Cantore on the show and just do his really overly enthusiastic weather reports.
Yes.
But he makes me almost love weather as much as he does, so it's cool.
I do have an appreciation for the weather. A good weather man goes a long way.
Yes. Yeah. They're not really necessary in California, but we do love them.
Well, before we get too far into this weather tangent, although it's a good one, we're actually here today to talk about hockey. We're continuing our World Cup preview series. And on the last pod, which hopefully you've already listened to, we previewed... What did we preview?
Europe and North America.
Team Europe and Team North America, the teams with no actual countries in their names.
The adopted teams.
The adopted teams, but two very interesting teams. I'm excited to see Team Europe, and we're all excited to see Team North America. But today we're talking about two actual countries and two teams that are definitely a little bit more interesting, I think, at least in Team Europe. Team Czech Republic and Team Sweden. So let's start with Team Czech Republic. They have an interesting roster, some skill up front, definitely some young talent blended with, you know, I'd say a good amount of experience in net. I'd say that's a point of strength with Peter Mrazek and Michael Neuwirth. Andre Pavlik will probably be the third stringer, although...
Should be.
Should be, yeah. Should be.
Unless he plays out of his mind, which no one's going to see coming.
Their forward group is dotted with names like, you know, Jake Voracek, David Krejci, Andre Palat, Tomáš Hertl.
Shout out.
Let's start right there. So, Tomáš Hertl, is he going to play center? Because I was making these lines on this super-duper Excel sheet. Which, you know, this is actually really, like, I'm not even good at Excel, and I could probably make this a lot more easily.
I mean, I'm looking at it from the side right here, and I see
disturbances.
I see names.
Periscope.
I see multiple colors.
Yes.
So you look like you know what you're doing.
So I guess I'll just have this up so you guys can see the lines. So right now, the way I have their forward lines mapped out, we have Andre Palat skating with David Krejci and Jake Voracek on the first line. Now that's a bit, little loaded.
Yeah.
Maybe they might spread that out. And then on the second line, I have Hertl with Martin Hanzel and Aleš Hemský. Now, Aleš Hemský is a right-handed shot. That's why I have him there.
Mm.
Hasn't Hanzel played wing in the past?
Right, he's a center in Arizona.
Like, is that just what he's listed as now, or has he played wing in the past?
He might have, but he's been a center in Arizona. Okay. Like, if you go to Daily Faceoff, he's listed as their first-line center.
Okay.
But, I mean, he could... play wing, like, mm-hmm. Of course he could, you know, he's an NHL player.
I would just think that just looking at that lineup, the second line of Hertl, Hanzel, and Hemský, that they might flip Hertl and Hanzel because they might, if I'm putting a team together, I might want the puck on Hertl's stick a little more than Hanzel's.
Well, and that's the thing, is what do they value? Hanzel's experience, the fact that he's been playing center, or, you know, Hertl's promise, because right now Hertl's been playing wing for the most part in San Jose, so mm-hmm. maybe that'll factor into the decision. And then on the third line, we have Milan Mihalik with Tomáš Plekanec and David Pastrnak. That could be a really good line.
Yeah.
Now, this is all hypothetical. This is all just what I think should be their lineup and sort of what I think the coach will decide to be the lineup. And then on the fourth line, there's Mikhail Frolik, Vladimir Sobotka coming over from the KHL, and Dmitry Yashkin. So that fourth line is kind of meh. I actually like Frolik. Sobotka is actually a pretty good player, too.
He was last with St. Louis, right?
Yes. And he was pretty good for them.
Yeah.
He was pretty good in Boston as well. And then Radek Faksa is the 13th forward. He's also not that bad, and I could see him maybe slotting in for a game or two.
Is he the one non-NHL?
No.
No, he's with Dallas.
He's a center for Dallas. Yeah. So what do you guys think of this forward group?
Hertl... just to start with him, Obviously plays really well on the wing with Joe Thornton, as most people have. So I don't know
how. But he's been really good.
Very good.
Yeah. More than just a complimentary piece.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I don't know what it would be like playing the wing with Hanzel. I personally like the idea of him playing center because.
Well, so do I. This is just more what I think they're going to do.
Yeah. But yeah, really good down low, protects the puck much better, a lot stronger than he was.
Really good down low, and that's what Peter DeBoer sort of preaches, is playing below the goal line, and the Sharks are really good at that, and Hurdle's definitely a big part of that.
Right. Yeah, I'm actually liking the look of those first three lines. Faxa, like you said, he's probably going to be the odd man out on that fourth line. I think he only has 1 year with Dallas under his belt.
Yeah, and you know, I think the good news for Team Czech Republic is that this isn't an 82-game season, so there's a very good chance Milan Mihalik plays every game.
Yeah, and Milan Mihalik.
Is it Mihalik or Mihalik?
It's officially now Mihalik.
Okay.
Yeah.
All apologies, all love and respect.
Yeah, we
the Mihalik clan.
We as Sharks fans called him Mihalik for like 7 years or something.
Except for Ruzanowski, who.
Well, Mihalik sort of makes sense if you have a grasp of the Czech language, right. which I do.
Yeah.
I don't.
I do not.
Yeah. None of us will pretend to.
Yeah.
But like you were saying, Mihalik, really good, fast, speedy skater when he's healthy.
Yeah.
It's just that he's often not healthy.
Yeah, and I think his scoring touch isn't what it was. Right. I think in his prime in San Jose, or even
the first couple of years in Ottawa.
Yeah, but I think in this tournament he definitely has value, especially down the wing. So yeah, I like their forward group. I think they're going to cause some teams trouble. I think pretty much any team. I mean, Palat is so good.
Yeah.
No matter where Hurdle plays, he's going to have an impact. Voracek, obviously, is an all-star. Krejci. Yeah,
that first line's really good.
Yeah. Now, where things get a little dicey for Czech Republic is on the blue line.
Right.
The way I have it set up right now, we have Mikal Jordan. Is it Jordan or Jordan?
I've been hearing Jordan.
Okay.
But
let's roll with Jordan.
Everyone Americanizes names.
Okay. So. Let's just say Mikal Jordan. On the first pairing with Radko Gudas. That's actually not a bad pairing, by the way.
Yeah.
Jordan had has had a pretty good run so far in Carolina. He's a good puck-moving defenseman. Gudas puts up some pretty good numbers as well in terms of possession. Now, he also tries really hard to get, like, just huge body checks.
Yeah,
really hard.
And that gets him out of position sometimes.
Right.
But it actually doesn't seem to affect him too adversely. Like, at the end of the day, if you look at his numbers.
Yeah, he very sneakily has fantastic possession numbers.
Yeah. And then on the second pairing, we have Mikael Kempney with Jakub Nakladal. Now, names that aren't too recognizable. Kempney is being likened to the next version of Artemi Panarin. The Blackhawks signed him this offseason from the KHL. He figures to be a really good puck-moving defenseman for them in that Artemi Panarin vein where, KHL, diamond in the rough, coming over and having impact. So he's at least a quality player in some league.
Yeah.
Right?
Great for Chicago, by the way, if that pans out.
Yeah. And Nakladal, I've heard Nakladal from Calgary announcers, had a pretty good run in Calgary, only played 27 games, put up some good possession numbers as well. On a team that was very challenged in the shot attempt battle, he actually came out in the black by a healthy margin. So, I mean, again, these two guys, not big names, at least in North America yet, but they're quality players.
Yeah.
Now, is that enough to stop Team Canada, Russia's forward group, Sweden? I'm not sure, but it's at least something. And on the third pairing, I have Zbigniew Mihalik, who is a right-handed or a right-handed defenseman. I would have him on the left with Schuster.
Mm.
And then I'd have Roman Polak as the seventh defenseman.
Yeah.
Now, I think Polak will be in the lineup.
I know, something tells me he's going to draw into the lineup
because,
more often than not.
He was a key playoff performer for San Jose.
Let me amend that. Oh, he was in the playoffs with San Jose.
Yeah.
But you're right. The narrative is going to be key playoff
he performer. Had a plane ticket
yeah.
for each game.
Yeah, I don't want to like entirely crush him because he actually played well at times.
At times.
But, especially in the first two series.
Yeah, but overall, he's just, yeah, I'd rather have him in the press box.
But yeah, so this blue line, you know, the third pairing really is what kind of loses me. Schuster is really just not that great, even on a really good Tampa Bay team. Zbigniew Mihalik, you know, has been a really good player in the past.
Yeah.
Dipping a little bit.
Yeah, he's a very much stay-at-home, just shut down, which is fine for a third pair.
Yeah.
But overall, when you look at the blue line, I think they're going to have trouble moving the puck.
See, I think it's the other way around. I think they're going to have, they're going to be good at moving the puck and have trouble defending.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because I feel like, not to like, you know, stereotype, but I feel like European defensemen are usually better, or at least more willing to move the puck to make plays. And but against, like, you know, some elite forwards, they might have a little bit of trouble defending their blue line.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. We'll have to see.
It is a question mark, though.
Yeah. I don't know. Sure. I don't know a whole lot about Jordan. I don't think he played a full season with Carolina last year.
Yeah. But he's been solid for them, just sort of under the radar because it's Carolina. And his name is Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If he can be as good as Michael Jordan, then big shout out. Yeah.
But what's the projection for Team Czech Republic? Because I see them as sort of a spoiler if things go right for them. I like their chances of, you know, ruining someone's day more than I do Team Europe's.
Yeah, I was just about to say
they're definitely a notch above that, maybe even two notches.
Yeah, I like them better than Team Europe.
Which group are they in again?
That's a good question. I think, let's look it up. I think they're in Group A. Actually, yes, they're in Group A.
With Canada?
Yeah, with Canada, USA, and Europe. Yeah. So, that's going to be tough when they play Canada.
Yeah, when they play Canada.
Yeah, but I mean, they can be, that team is better than USA.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's fair to say. Maybe not by a gigantic margin.
Yeah.
But I think that team is more skilled than Team USA.
Yeah.
Offensively.
Man, the more I look at that forward group for the Czechs, the more I like it.
I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think...
Is it Group A?
Hold on a second.
Okay. Well, yeah. And yeah, the forward group is, I mean, more than just, like, likable. It's really good.
Yeah.
And Plekanec might even... I don't know if he'll be in the first, second line. He's more of a defensive center at this point in his career. But he can play anywhere in the lineup.
Yeah. I see him being either the second or third line center on that team.
But, like, a really good third line center.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean... Yeah, if they have him on the third line, and if it shapes out the way that you have it written down with Mikulajczyk and David Pastrnak, that's a more than serviceable third line.
And Pastrnak might be on the second line. Like, who knows?
Yeah.
This is me sort of assuming that they're going to have a bias against young players.
Yeah.
Is it Group A?
Yeah, and okay. You got that right, all the teams.
Yay. All right. No more not knowing
the
actual, like, structure of this tournament, as in the previous episode.
We had a friend of the show help us out with the structure a little bit. Friend Alexander McKay chiming in. He said, he tweeted, not sure if you guys figured it out, but first place teams play second place from opposite groups. So USA-Canada final is possible.
Oh, so the first team from Group A would play the first team from Group B.
Second team from Group B.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, first from Group A, second from Group B.
Oh, okay.
So that's interesting.
So that's interesting. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, so...
Well, of course, it's as we predicted. A USA-Canada... Like, why would they not want a USA-Canada final? Like, that wouldn't...
Yeah, it makes no sense.
That'd be nonsensical. From a marketing
standpoint.
Yeah.
That'd be asinine.
So, a big shout-out to Alexander McKay for setting us straight.
Coming through.
He came through clutch.
Yeah, he held us accountable.
Yes.
Hold us to it.
Hold me to it. Everyone needs that coach behind them.
Yeah.
Just making sure everyone's
kicking
on point.
Kicking them in the ass, yeah. Well, yeah. Team Czech Republic, I think we're all pretty... I don't want to say high on them, but there's a generally good feeling about this team. Like, I don't see why they can't be... I don't see why they can't upset someone.
Yeah, know? I agree.
Like, this might be a bit of a stretch, but between them and Russia's blue line, I don't think it's this gigantic, like, vacuum between the two. I don't think Russia's blue line is that much better than Czech Republic's.
Russia's blue line is not that strong.
Yeah. More top end talent, but I don't know. I'm just a fan of these low key guys who can move the puck and who sort of have more of that offensive mindset. Like, I like that, especially in a tournament where, you know, goals are at a premium.
Yeah. You have me excited to see Kempney.
Yeah.
I'm all about it.
Yeah, as soon as I dropped the Artemi Panarin,
yeah,
that was a
yeah, my ears perked up. Yeah. I was like, oh.
And Peter Mrazek, look, he's coming into this season with something to prove. I think he really wants to take a stranglehold of that job in Detroit.
Yeah.
And he's more than capable of doing it.
Oh, and he is capable of doing it.
If I remember correctly, he didn't play as many games as, like, say, Braden Holtby, but he was in the Vezina conversation for a pretty good chunk of time during the season.
No, he's outstanding.
Yeah, he's very good.
I love his athleticism, and once he can sort of reel that in, he'll be really good.
Yeah.
And, I don't know, Team Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Thumbs up for now.
Yeah. Not two thumbs, but one thumb.
Yeah,
One thumb firmly up.
All right. Let's get to the fun part of the show. Team Sweden.
Yeah, that's going to be the part where we just salivate.
So
for 20 minutes.
I guess a quick injury update on Sweden. They've kind of had guys falling left and right. They lost Alex Steen, Niklas Kronwall, and just today, September 1st, Henrik Zetterberg, which is a pretty big blow, because was he going to be the captain or Kronwall was going to be the captain?
No, it was going to be Zetterberg, I think.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, they lose their captain.
Yeah.
You know.
He had 50 points last year.
Cue the trumpets. But yeah.
He was actually mostly healthy last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, he's been a mainstay for Sweden for a long time.
And that's the thing about Sweden. They're a team that's a little more on the veteran side than other teams.
They are more on the veteran side, but their veterans are very good.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's just get right into it. Let's look at their lineup. I've also conveniently made an Excel sheet with their projected lines. This is sort of my projection with a bit of assumption as to what their coach Gronborg will do. Philip Forsberg with Niklas Backstrom and Patrick Hornqvist on the first line.
Nice.
Man.
Forsberg and Backstrom. You know, that's
and Hornqvist.
All of the goals.
And Hornqvist is a bit more scrappy, but he can make plays as well.
If they do that, they kind of have everything, because they have Hornqvist going to the net, they have Backstrom, the playmaker, Forsberg, really good shooter.
The shooter, yeah. So that's my projection. And then on the second line, well, you have to have the Sedins together.
Yeah, they'll definitely do that.
Yeah, like I just can't see them splitting them up unless, you know, they lose a game to, I don't know, Team North America, and then they get all desperate.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, so it's the Sedins with Louis Eriksson. I think I have Louis Eriksson playing out of position. It's either him or Landeskog are going to have to flip around. Now, the third line, there's an assumption being made here that Raquel is going to play at center, which I think he will. It all kind of depends on who they're going to bring in, because right now we don't know who they're going to bring in to replace Zetterberg. They have 12-4. Or did they bring someone in?
What's it, Backlund?
Oh, it's Michael Backlund.
Michael Backlund. A center.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's interesting. That's really interesting.
He quietly had 21 goals last year. He played pretty well for Calgary.
He's a good... I mean, I could see him being as their fourth line center. But yeah, let's just keep on going. So in the third line, I would have Gabriel Landeskog with Rickard Rakell and Jakob Silfverberg.
Mm.
I think Silfverberg Rakell makes a little sense. They play on the same team in Anaheim, so maybe they'd want that chemistry. Silverberg's a natural right winger.
And Landeskog on the third line can throw his weight around all he wants.
And Landeskog can do what he does. He's got some skill also. And then on the fourth line, this is sort of a toss-up because they have like two centers and now I guess potentially three centers to sort of play around with. So on the left wing, Carl Hagelin, at center, Carl Soderberg, and then Marcus Kruger shifting over to the right wing. I'd rather have Soderberg in the middle because he's more of a playmaker, more of an offensive guy.
Yeah, a good passer.
But I don't know. Maybe Kruger's better at face-offs. I'm actually not sure on that. But yeah, so this forward group is, I'd say, top-heavy.
Yeah.
And you could even argue that maybe Raquel should be the second line center at this point, or at least be on the first line. So maybe bring down Eriksson, put Raquel on the right wing on the second line, and then shoehorn in one of the centers into that third line spot. I don't know.
Yeah. Well,
they're going to have to figure that out a little bit.
Yeah. Whatever they decide to do, what I'm seeing is that they're going to be able to spread out the playing time pretty evenly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So short tournament, guys are going to be able to stay fresh and just go, go, go.
Yeah, but what I'm seeing on this team, though, is every line is sort of a problem for the other team. Like, no, the other team can't really take any shifts off. Like, they're going to be able to bring the play to your end no matter who's on the ice. Like, if you have Hagelin with Soderberg and Kruger, maybe not so much Kruger, but Soderberg and Hagelin are capable offensive players, not superstars or anything, but they can certainly hold their own. So it's going to be tough. They're going to have that consistent wave of puck possession, of shots on net. So, you know, they're not really like Russia where they're electrifying so much, but they're definitely going to be consistently wearing you down just with their cycle play and their passing.
Yeah. And they'll have a good mix of speed and playmaking up and down the lineup.
Yeah.
So I think it's a very balanced and even explosive team, especially the top two lines, but just overall very well balanced, and everyone can provide offense.
Would they be running that sort of cycle game that Nashville runs? Like, is it the Swedish Elite League that's sort of where it came from?
I don't know. I'm not really too familiar with that.
I can't remember what they were saying during the playoffs, if it was country specific or if it was just European style cycle.
Well, the tournament's gonna be on NHL ice.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
I was just curious about the playing style.
Well, yeah, I think Sweden is definitely, I mean, should play a puck possession style cycle game.
Yeah,
like this roster is. The Sedin twins, Backstrom. I mean, you should be.
They have the people to do it,
making you work and just like never touching the puck.
Even someone with Hagelin's speed.
Yeah, yeah, and that's the cool thing, is they can kind of throw different looks at you. You know, Nicholas Backstrom, more of the slick playmaking. Then you have Hagelin with up and down speed, and then Landeskog with the cross checks to the face. Right. They can do everything.
they can do it all, and this time Backstrom won't get banned for what, child cough syrup or whatever?
Allegra. Yeah. I take Allegra.
Yeah.
Shout out to Allegra. Please sponsor us.
Yeah, please sponsor
us. Good allergy medication.
It helps Felix be in condition that he needs to perform well on the podcast.
Yeah, seriously.
And
shout out to Allegra.
Yeah.
But yeah, so their forward group, I would say solid, if not unspectacular.
Yes.
I think they're definitely not having me falling out of my seat, but they're also going to be really wearing down other teams. Let's talk about the blue line, though, because I might actually fall out of my seat talking about this blue line.
This blue line isn't even fair.
I didn't even know how to draw it up. I really didn't even know where to start. I didn't know. I mean, let's just. So Victor Hedman, Erik Karlsson, Hampus Lindholm, Anton Strålman, Oliver Ekman-Larsson, Mattias Ekholm, and Nick Hjalmarsson.
Who sits?
One amazing NHL defenseman is going to be sitting out. I think it might be Ekholm.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Ekholm is a left shot, but right now I have him on the right, just because I don't see Oliver Ekman-Larsson relinquishing his side for Ekholm. No. Yeah.
And also, I think it'd be great to have Ekman-Larsson and Hjalmarsson together, because then it's sort of like the Burns and Martin effect, where Burns can just roam free and then...
Yeah, well, I would suggest that maybe for Ekman-Larsson and Hjalmarsson.
Did I misspeak?
Oh, you said Ekholm?
I meant to say Hjalmarsson and Ekman-Larsson.
Yeah, yeah. I think what they might do is maybe have Lindholm with Karlsson and then Hedman with Strålman. I think Hedman and Strålman makes sense. They played together.
Yeah.
Oh, man, why didn't I think of that when I was making this? But yeah. I actually definitely think now Hedman and Strålman are going to play together.
Yeah.
They play on the same team.
Yeah. It makes sense. In short term, they look to any prior chemistry, they just throw together immediately.
And then, you know, oh man, but Hampus Lindholm.
I'm so glad that they picked him to replace.
What a steal. I mean, what a stroke of luck for Sweden that Cronwall got hurt. Not that I would wish injury upon anyone, but like, that's a big break for Sweden, because Cronwall's been good in the past, like maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But Lindholm is one of the best defensemen in the NHL right now.
Yeah.
And he won't even have to be the best defenseman on this team. So he can really just play his own game and not worry too much about carrying the load. So it's going to be... I mean, that blue line is by far the best in this tournament. I don't think it's remotely close.
No.
They will have no problem
especially
moving the puck.
With Canada just like screwing around and getting Jade Bomeister... Shea Weber, and who's the other kind of questionable one?
Muzzin? Or
no, nah, Muzzin's good.
Muzzin.
But yeah, I mean, it's just like, I don't know, as Canada, I don't know how you can screw around like that when you see Sweden that literally has a blue line of all-stars.
Yeah.
It's kind of baffling, but yeah, this is the best blue line of the tournament by far. It more than makes up for their, you know, a little bit less electrifying forward group. So yeah, I'm really excited to see them get to work.
Yeah,
just, you know, Carlson with Lindholm possibly. You know, actually, I could see Carlson with Hjalmarsson because Hjalmarsson's that defensive guy.
Yeah,
It honestly kind of doesn't matter.
You can take your pick, put Hjalmarsson with either Carlson or Ekman Larsson, yeah, and you're going to get the same effect where the Stallion gets to roam,
yeah,
and then Hjalmarsson is going to be there holding down the fort.
I think the fit might be cleaner with Hjalmarsson and Carlson because Carlson is a right shot.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That would make sense.
Yeah, no one would have to be on their unnatural side. But yeah, this is...
They're stacked.
I mean, it's kind of ridiculous that, you know, they can have this much talent. Yeah. And then in net, the king,
yeah,
Henrik Lundqvist. So it only gets better for them.
Yeah, they have Lundqvist, and then Leonard got replaced by Jonas Enroth.
Oh, okay, that's right, yeah. So Enroth and Markstrom are the other two goaltenders, and yeah, I don't think they'll see the ice
once.
No.
Maybe unless, I don't know, Sweden is up like 5-0 going to the third period, and they want to like rest Lundqvist or something. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, Lundqvist coming off a season that, I mean, you can only use the word disappointment. They get kind of blown out in the first round by the Penguins. Has to leave with injury. Last Olympics, they fall to Canada in the gold medal game. So I think Lundqvist is going to be motivated to really come out and sort of prove, like, hey, this is still my show.
Yeah.
I'm still the king.
And he loves the international tournaments, as most guys, I think, do.
He loves the big stage. He loves representing his country.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, he's firmly in that net, and
yeah,
that's pretty much the end of the goaltending discussion.
So I guess the real question then is, where does Sweden finish? Because we're looking at possibly, we are looking at the most well-rounded team in this tournament, I think.
Yeah.
Are they better than Canada? Should we even be considering Canada favorites?
I still have Canada as a favorite.
But how much? Can't be by much.
No, it's not by an overwhelming margin at all.
It's so perplexing because I realized it was 2 years ago, but with the way they performed in the Olympics,
mm-hmm,
you know, they weren't awful. And especially when things got serious, they shut things down.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, leading up, you know, they were a little... You know, shaky.
Talking about Sweden?
No, Canada.
Oh, Canada, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I realized it was a couple of years ago, and...
Yeah,
you know,
this is a different team now.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be different team, different mentality. You know, even gaining some experience from that.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of hard for me to favor Sweden over Canada, even with the blue line and goaltending that they have. You know, like, I think... Sweden is the team that's going to give Canada the biggest run for its money.
Yeah.
I mean, there really isn't another team that I see coming close. You know,
yeah.
Like maybe a team like Russia can outscore them, but yeah, they have to get by that blue line first.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's...
They have to get the puck from them first.
Yeah. And then you have to score on Carey Price.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Who had like a 970 in the Olympics.
So I think Canada-Sweden is close, but I still see Canada is a slightly more favorite team. Slightly more of a favorite.
You know, it's a tough call.
Man, Canada-Sweden would make a great World Cup series.
Yes.
I'm very excited about that possibility.
I mean, I just remember the way Canada, you know, in the last couple of games of the Olympics shut down.
They just turned it on.
Yeah, like, the only shots that were going to the net were from just inside the blue line, and it was one and done, and they were out of their zone. Like,
yeah,
it was impressive.
I mean, there is the Babcock factor,
yeah,
to consider. I mean, he's the best coach in the NHL.
Yeah.
So
I mean, Canada in the Olympics was so surgical.
They were. It was just like they ran a clinic.
Yeah. And,
but I think things might be a little different this time around. Yeah. I don't know. I just think... was Lindholm even on the Olympic team?
And yeah, that's something that I was going to say is I think Sweden is better now.
And Hedman and Carlson have only gotten better.
Yeah. Yeah, like this roster is better than what they had at the Olympics 2 years ago.
And Philip Forsberg wasn't, I mean, was he even relevant in 2014?
I think he was just starting.
Or he had just broken in.
Yeah.
Yeah, like this is a much better team. They've gained experience. They've added some pieces. Like,
and through injuries or gotten younger.
I'm just going to die on this hill. I think Sweden's winning the whole thing.
You think so?
I think they're better than Canada.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It pains me to say it as a Canadian. And I still like Canada's forward group a lot better than I like Sweden's. I mean, Canada's forward group could beat, you know, like, I don't know, Team Europe with no without any defensemen on the ice. Yeah. Like, it's crazy how good they are. But I really don't have much faith in Canada's blue line. I think they're going to get exploited. And, you know, like, I'm not saying they're bad. Yeah. It's just they have actual holes.
Yeah.
Like, I think in a tournament like this, you can't afford to have a guy or two that you put out there where you will be at a disadvantage. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you just can't. You don't have that luxury.
Especially with Canada, like we talked about in the past, you know, they could field three teams.
Yeah.
Like, three solid teams. And their blue line is...
They've chosen, like, the D team on the blue line.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and here's the other thing. And I don't, as a Habs fan, I don't really want to play this angle, but Carey Price hasn't played hockey in a year. And I know that the last time he played a full season, he was the MVP and the Vezina candidate, but this is kind of a tough warm-up, you know, run.
I do think it's the kind of competition that he gets up for.
Oh, and he will. And, you know, I'm just saying that could play a role, right? Do I think it will? Probably not. Carey Price is, you know, all world. But there is that possibility. And just, you know, the Bomeister-Weber factor. I still can't really get over that.
Yeah, I don't understand the Bomeister edition. Yeah.
And, like, Weber has value, definitely, but...
He's going to be good for the power play.
He'll be good for the power play, but he will get exploited when he's out there. Yeah. And I know people, I can already hear people telling me, oh, what do you mean exploited? He's going to crush people in front of the net. Well, no, that's not really how it works. Yeah. I honestly think Sweden, at least on paper, is the best team in this tournament. I don't really think it's that close. Their blue line, here's the thing. Even if Canada had its very best blue line, so let's say you throw in Letang, Giordano, Subban. Sweden might still be better, you know?
Maybe.
Like, it's...
But, entirely possible,
yeah.
But also very, very debatable.
Debatable, but it's at least at that point. Like, that's how good Sweden is.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
You don't often go into a world tournament and the conversation is... Or at least, the conversation we're putting forth... Canada has maybe an equal.
Oh, they have an equal.
Yeah.
Not a maybe.
But like in the past, every single time, Canada's been by far and away the favorites.
Yeah, because Sweden always been like, oh, like look at Sweden.
Yeah.
They're trying. Oh, how nice.
Yeah, but it's always been like if Canada underperforms, Sweden's there to, you know.
To swoop in.
Yeah.
You know, just like in 2006 in the Torino games. I think this time around it's different. Canada doesn't have its best team. And not by, like, a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like they're missing these giant pieces. But there's just enough where, you know, if you're comparing two great teams, those are kind of things you have to point out because they're both so good. You have to grasp for straws a little bit, you know.
Right.
I think Sweden is more complete. But, man, I mean, Canada's forward group is so dominant.
Yeah.
That. And I don't want to completely spoil our Canada episode.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we could go on and talk about the rest of the teams until 12:30 a.m.
Yeah.
But we want to save some content.
I think what it's really going to come down to for Sweden is what are they going to get out of their forwards? On paper, they look great. But look, the Sedins, especially like Daniel Sedin, has fallen off a bit.
Yeah.
Henrik is still very good. Louis Eriksson, sort of meh. But, you know, playing with Henrik Sedin will be a lot better.
Yeah.
As would any of the three of us.
just look at the season Verbata had when he left.
Yeah.
Arizona to go to Vancouver.
And then, you know, Raquel and Silverberg, let's see what they get out of them. Landeskog, you know, who knows if he doesn't get suspended
the tournament. The point that you guys made earlier about how Sweden, you know, with the group of forwards they have, even though it might be a little lackluster in places, can throw different looks at you.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be their biggest advantage up front. Because
they have the speed look, you know, they have the more like grinded out look, and then they just have that. You know, that firepower in the first line.
And the good news is, even with the grinded out type of guys, they can still play offensive. Like, Soderberg, good passer.
And that's the thing with Sweden is that with every guy, they're all cerebral players.
Right.
They're all able to make plays. So, man, like yeah, I mean, no one really compares to Canada's forward group, even Russia, because Russia starts declining after the third line.
Mm.
But they're good enough. And with that blue line, that's kind of all they need to be. And good enough, maybe plus more, especially with that first line.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's Lundqvist.
Yeah.
Like, who's going to score on him, you know, for the most part?
Yeah, that's the thing. As long as Lundqvist doesn't get hurt.
Yeah.
And even if he does, it'll matter, but they might be good enough to overcome it.
I could just see this team having that sort of chip on their shoulder a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the tournament itself is in Canada. We lost the last time around. Lundqvist is still mad about the playoffs. I mean, even Hedman. Carlson got snubbed from the Norris Trophy.
Yeah.
Hedman was, you know, a beast in the past two playoffs. Has nothing to show for it, really.
Carlson is probably still mad about the Olympics because didn't he say he wanted to sell his silver medal on eBay?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah.
So, like, there's definitely a bit of that, you know, chip on their shoulder thing going on.
Especially because everyone is talking about Canada, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
But I'm sure Sweden is tired of hearing about it.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know. I'm going to die on this hill. I'm going to say Sweden is the best team in this tournament, and I think they're going to win it all.
They very well might.
Hot take alert.
Hot take alert. Hey, turn on the sirens.
Yeah. And you got to love Sweden's management group. So they have an advisory board, which is basically like three guys who might still be able to play on the team. Daniel Alfredsson, Niklas Lidström, and Mats Sundin.
Yeah.
And then their vice president / team leader. This is the official designation that I've read. Peter Forsberg.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Is that what's on his LinkedIn profile?
VP/ team leader of Team Sweden. Yeah.
/ head of activities.
Yeah.
He's the one in charge of handing out merit badges.
Yeah. Arts and crafts.
Yeah.
And also being really good at hockey and helping put great teams together, because that's what this is.
Yeah, man. It's going to be... I just can't wait for this to start.
Speaking of Peter Forsberg, is there some sort of shootout rule in this tournament?
What do you mean?
I was just thinking about
that. Oh, for like overtime or whatever?
Yeah. Oh, we should probably know that.
Ooh. Pause for edit while we look. Alexander, where are you?
Every pod, we get one step closer to knowing every single detail about this tournament.
We're going to get there.
There has to be shootouts. There probably has to be 3-on-3, I bet.
But, you know, is it like the Olympics where, you know, we see U.S. and Russia and, you know, what was it, the first three shooters shoot, you can just pick the same shooter over and over and over?
I don't know. I think it'll be different since it's not a double IHF tournament.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's an NHL tournament, right? So it could be more NHL-ized.
NHL-y.
Rule. Chelly. all right, so I'm looking it up here.
3-on-3 would be really fun in this tournament.
Oh, my God.
I mean, that'd be insane.
I want to see Canada, Sweden play 3-on-3.
Honestly, instead of a shootout, I'd just rather have 20 minutes of 3-on-3. Like, you know, a goal's getting scored.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just over the shootout.
I'm not. I'm actually a shootout aficionado. I love watching shootouts. Like, I'll even watch them, like, old ones when I'm bored. Like, I'm just weird like that. But I don't know. I like the one-on-one, like, duel aspect to it.
Yeah.
Like, what's the goalie going to do? Like, what... How far is he going to come out? What's the move that shooter's going to use? Like, I don't know. I appreciate that aspect of the game.
Yeah. It's interesting how it's changed a little bit because...
Oh, it's changed a lot.
I feel like everyone back in 2005 had that same move where they would do that donkey kick and fake to the forehand and go backhand.
Well, I think what people didn't realize in 2005 is that there's no, like, timer on this. Like, now you see guys coming in a lot slower.
Patrick Kane.
Well, not just Patrick Kane. Like, if you look in general, guys come in slow. They put on a ton of moves. And, I mean, as a goalie, it's really tough to stop that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely more creative now.
Yeah.
So, I won't say that I dislike it, but I'm a little bored by it. There's just something really, really fun about when a goal is scored in overtime.
Oh, yeah.
It feels more spontaneous, and it feels more like hockey, and it's, I don't know, I love it.
Yeah.
Because you don't... With a shootout, it's a breakaway, so it's either going to go in or it isn't, so you kind of see it coming, but during the flow of play, something can happen, there's a bounce or a breakaway or whatever, and it's just more spontaneous and exciting to me.
Yeah, man, I'm just thinking back to our last episode where we were ranking Team North America, and I'm having so much trouble ranking them right now in my head because I look at Sweden and how good I think they are, and even Czech Republic's pretty good. We know Canada's great. Russia's very good. So it's like, as much potential as they have on the roster, like, it's tough. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, they have Connor McDavid.
I feel like people might use the young and inexperienced angle as a reason to say that they might not do that well, but I kind of think being young doesn't matter that much anymore, especially when you're that good.
You know what's kind of hilarious to me? How people call them young and inexperienced. Like, yes, they're young, but like, all these guys have done since they were about 3 years old is play hockey.
Yeah.
I don't really know if they're quote-unquote inexperienced at this.
Yeah.
Like, they've all played in major international tournaments.
And they've all played in big games at various levels.
Yeah.
So it's not it's not like they're new to this.
Yeah. That team is just a bunch of really good players thrown together.
Yeah.
And that's where I think might be their failing, or where they would potentially suffer as opposed to a team like Sweden, Canada, whatever, is they don't really have that sort of, I hate to use this word, culture.
Mm.
Like, they don't have that unifying thing.
Right.
But, you know, they could certainly find it. Like, they could certainly rally around the fact, like, hey, we're just sort of like the dark horse spoiler type team. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, we're the kind of randomly grouped together guys not playing for a country.
Yeah. We just want to, like, ruin everyone's day.
Yeah. Yeah. With amazing skill and finesse.
Yeah.
And a little bit of swag. Yeah,
and their jerseys are just so sweet.
They're pretty cool.
Speaking of jerseys, the Flyers.
Oh, no.
Tweeted out or posted or whatever. Their what is it? Their 90th season? No,
50th.
50th. Why did I say
90th? That's why there's gold on it now.
Okay. So let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Those are awful.
I don't like them.
No, like, they're bad.
Yeah. I think the gold is a cool idea because the thing that it made me think of is I think every team in Major League Baseball does this when they win the World Series they have the gold numbers and
for one game in the following season.
Yeah, which is fine. Like,
you know, they wear gold lettering and numbering. Yeah.
You pat yourself on the back for a night.
Yeah,
like, cool.
But
okay, then you move on.
But with this jersey, because, like, again in baseball, like, the San Francisco Giants, they wear the same black and orange, and they have a little bit of gold, but it's a very slight accent color.
And they play 81 times at home, so, like, a little variety doesn't hurt.
Yeah, but when it's that prominent with black and orange, it's just a weird, ugly look.
Yeah. And, well, it's not even the gold that really bothers me. It's just the rest of the design's kind of lazy.
Yeah, it's like they took their current jerseys
and they just cut off the middle stripe or like on the sleeve.
Yeah, they just made them a lot lamer.
Yeah, I was really confused by that.
Like, it looks sort of like a knockoff of the Flyers' current jerseys.
Like, what would have been fine is if they just had their normal jersey and then just put like gold on it, or like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like
it still, I don't think, would have looked that good. I'm a little biased because I really like the Flyers' jerseys.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's a classic jersey. It's as classic as it gets if you're not an original six team.
Yeah. So our main issue is just with the overall design. They're a somewhat related but kind of side point, because a lot of people were talking about it, and then the issue of third jerseys came up, and there was an interesting tweet from Kevin Kurz, who covers the Sharks, who said, you know, third jerseys make a lot of money for the NHL, so you can either have the occasional ugly third jersey, or you can have ads on the jerseys. And that was kind of like a...
Oh, well, I mean, no, I don't... I'm not mad that they have, a bad jersey. Like, it gives me something to talk about. And, like, jerseys are fun. Like, good or bad, quote-unquote bad, it's just a fun thing to talk about. Yeah. Like, one of my favorite... One of the things that got me into hockey is I just thought it looked cool.
Yeah.
You know, I love the... I think hockey jerseys are the best jerseys in, like, professional North American sports.
Yeah, I agree.
Because it's just a total, like, uniform. And the jersey itself really has its own character. If you look at, especially, like, I don't know, football and basketball, football's jerseys really don't have anything going on for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, you look at the best jerseys in, well, quote-unquote, the best jerseys in football, and
Let's see if you and I have the same, like, top three for this.
Well, you know, Packers, Cowboys, Niners, you know,
Bears.
Bears are probably number one. But it's just like there's two colors.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really, it's more about the logo or like the total ensemble with the helmet and everything.
Yeah.
But
there's just not as much room to work with, especially since they have numbers on both sides of the jersey and the logo is only on the helmet.
Yeah. But whereas a hockey jersey, I mean, there's the logo, which is prominent and really, for the most part, usually has a lot of character. You know, and then you like basketball's not bad. Like, some teams have really cool designs.
But they really only have a couple of really classic jerseys. Like, it's sort of Lakers, Celtics, and Bulls.
Yeah, and Warriors.
Yeah. Oh, man, those are beautiful.
I think the Warriors are the best jersey.
I do, too.
I'm a little biased.
I do, too. But, like, are they recognizable, you know?
Oh, like on a... Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, well, yeah, because the Bulls... I think in like 20, 30 years, the Warriors jersey might be on that level. Because after this era of Stephen Curry and the championships, 73 wins.
Yeah.
Championships. There's been one, but there will be two after this season.
There's no way there's not going to be more.
You know, everyone keeps saying that, but after this season, I don't know what to think anymore.
Man, how could they,
how could they not? I mean,
Durant?
Who knows? It just like...
I know, it could
stuff
happen.
Stuff happens.
Yeah, I know, injuries happen.
That's only, like, anxious fan talking.
Yeah.
Like, rational me thinks, of course, they're going to win, even if Durant gets hurt.
Yeah, even if Durant gets hurt and Draymond gets suspended for kicking someone...
Yeah, in the crotch.
Again.
Yeah. No. But, yeah, basketball jerseys are cool.
I think
they're fun.
Yeah, but the works of art are hockey and baseball.
Yeah, because... Baseball has, you know, the Yankees.
The Cubs. The Cardinals.
My only issue with baseball jerseys is the gray away.
The gray away. You're not into it?
Well, it's not that I dislike it. I think it works. It just, I don't know, it looks a little gray.
Yeah. I don't know, because the home jerseys are white. But, man, there are some teams like the Mets and the Diamondbacks that have, like, 40 jerseys.
Oh, yeah, and, like, 40 hats.
Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah. Well, it's because the Mets, you know.
Yeah.
Little brother.
Yeah. Overcompensating.
Yeah. Nah, but hockey jerseys are great. I mean, there's so many classic looks.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the Canadiens, the Blackhawks, Bruins, Red Wings. A little overrated, the Red Wings, but I respect it.
There was a bit on a Forgotten Pod where we talked about the World Cup jerseys.
Oh, I like them.
Yeah, overall, they're looking pretty good. We were all disappointed by Team USA, just another aspect of that team to be disappointed by.
It's funny because I actually don't mind USA's as much as you two do.
I'm just not into the shield. Like,
it's a little cartoony.
They could just do so much better.
Because they're plain. I like stripes on jerseys.
Yeah.
And their stripe game is almost non-existent.
Stripe game week. Yeah. Not good. There's been a lot of mixed reaction to the World Cup jerseys. It's been a lot of Adidas, this is the next step, this is what the NHL is going to be.
Mm.
And then, I don't know. I actually like them. I think Canada nailed their look, personally. Yeah.
It's kind of hard for Canada to screw up their look.
Well... I don't know, like, they've had good looks in the past, but sometimes it can just be better. Like, I think I like the white leaf as opposed to the black leaf, because there's no black in the Canadian flag.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
And it really pops, and I like the leaves on the sleeves.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a nice sort of nod to, like, you know, past jerseys, like in the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it looks a little more sleek. And then Russia went with their tried and true.
Yeah. And then...
Is it an eagle?
For Russia?
What kind of bird is it?
Man, that's a good question.
I know Germany is an eagle, but
too bad Germany is not in the tournament. Germany always has great hockey jerseys.
They do. Oh man, Thomas Greiss has an awesome mask for Team Europe.
Does he really?
Yeah. It looks like a puzzle. Like there's a shape of all these puzzle pieces with I think parts of each European team's
sick.
Flag.
That's
so
sick.
All pieced together, it's really cool.
Man. Yeah, I mean, if this is the direction Adidas is going to go in with jerseys for hockey, I'm not totally opposed.
Yeah.
Like, just more, a little bit more modern, right?
Yeah.
So, we'll see.
Yeah, because even though I love the classic Canada look from the 2010 Olympics, and then I love, the 1960, 1980 USA look.
Yeah.
Like you said, I like what Canada's doing with that modern
style. And that's the whole thing is everyone's so worried, oh, Adidas has never been in hockey. They're going to ruin our look. And it's like, well, Reebok? Because that's who's making the jerseys now. Like, what's Reebok's background in hockey?
Reebok was responsible for piping.
No one cares about Reebok. Like, it's not even little brother. It's just like forgotten child.
Yeah, I mean, and Reebok isn't even Reebok anymore. Yeah. So that's all you need to know. CCM came back and took over, and
yeah,
that's that.
Yeah. Well, Adidas came back.
Adidas.
But yeah, yeah. CCM is hockey's brand.
Yeah.
Dude, what's going on with Bauer? They're like owner's going to jail or something.
Is he
really?
Or like, there's like a big lawsuit.
Ooh, I think I missed that.
I don't know the details, but yeah.
Man,
it's getting real over at Bauer.
I really like Bauer.
I mean, you're wearing a Bauer T-shirt.
I'm wearing a Bauer T-shirt, not a sponsor. But if you want to sponsor us,
That'd be awesome.
We're not into shady owners, but we're into great hockey gear.
Yeah, so. Bauer makes my favorite stick.
Or actually, it might be Easton.
Easton,
I don't know. Well, I think Easton is owned by Bauer. I don't know. It's always this weird chain.
I don't think they're owned by Bauer. I mean,
well, because it's the sports company. Like that's the big, like conglomerate that owns these brands.
Uh huh.
I don't know. But yeah, like I don't fear Adidas ruining hockey jerseys. Like I think they're gonna be fine. And like honestly, the classic teams, like, you know, Original Six, and then like the Penguins, the Flyers, their jerseys are not gonna change. Like you saw what happened when Reebok came in 2008 or 2007 with the Reebok Edge, and you know, changed every team's jersey with the weird piping, and nobody, like, it was the worst response.
Yeah.
And they scaled back, and now the jerseys they wear in the league are a lot more like the original material, and they went back to like the original designs too.
Yeah,
like pretty much every team now is going back to what they wore in like the 90s or 80s.
Yeah,
like Pittsburgh just fell in line.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
yeah. And the Flyers went back a few years ago.
So yeah,
just waiting for the Sharks to go back to those 1991 jerseys.
I think it'll happen.
I hope so.
In like 10 years, it'll happen. Oh. They have to be old enough first.
Yeah, maybe. I love them. I can't get enough of those. The heritage jerseys looked so great.
See, it's weird, cuz I'm not a Sharks fan and I actually don't mind their jerseys. Like I actually kind of like them.
The ones they have now.
It's weird cuz when they came out, I don't know if you guys remember this, but I was so against their jerseys.
Really?
And now I actually think like they work, cuz I've said this before, but I like that they highlight the color, like they're team teal. That's what people call them.
Right.
Right. So.
And that was the thing, is that sports teams did not wear teal.
Yeah.
And the Sharks kind of kicked the door down
on
that in a big way. And it was like, oh, this is actually pretty cool. It's unique. It pops.
Yeah. And the last ones they had were just so busy with the black.
The orange.
Shoulders.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were awful. Those were like seriously terrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do wish they'd either, because they can't get rid of the black jersey. That's the thing.
Right.
Their jersey. Like, what would be cool is if maybe they go back to the black third jersey they wore before this one.
Mm.
So, you know, with like the one, don't you have one?
Yeah.
It's a Marlowe jersey? Yeah.
It's a Nolan jersey.
Nolan, yeah.
And honestly, if you look at them side by side, there's not really much of a difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or what I would like to see is the original, like, 1990s jersey, but just black. I think that would look pretty cool.
That'd be interesting.
With like a teal, like, neck lining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you talking about that as like a third jersey? Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I just wish they'd keep the 1990 original jersey, or 1991. Or is it
91.
Yeah, 91,
92.
I wish they kept that just for like 5 games a season every season.
Yeah.
And I think they might. I don't know. Are they doing it again?
I don't think so. I think that was just a 25th anniversary.
Honestly,
thing.
Man, they should milk that. Like, don't go all in on every night with the throwback thing, but it's like, oh, it's throwback night. And then, I don't know, like, you can get a Evgeny Nabokov bobblehead.
Oh, yeah. I think
something like that.
I think it's
Sharks marketing. Hire me.
The original jersey is sort of like Quebec as an expansion city. It's more of a safety thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we always have this to fall back on.
Yeah.
And we know people are going to buy it.
Yeah.
But if we,
they'll do it eventually.
If we make it like essentially the third jersey.
Yeah.
Then people will buy it.
Yeah.
But there's going to be loss of interest, and they won't sell as much.
It'd be too available. No, that's a really good point. I think teams kind of do that. Like, I think the Penguins did that. You know, they kind of dangled in front of everybody, like, oh, look, we're wearing the best jersey we ever had.
Yeah.
How cool is this? People buy it in droves. Oh, all right, you know what? We're going to make another one, an away version, and we're going to wear them every game.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's smart. It's, I mean, that's just good business.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
I think 5 games a season would be enough to appease me, because I just don't want it to be one of those things where it's like a Pokemon that you try and catch, and then it just runs away on you, and you never see it again, you know? Sorry to drop that reference, but...
Hey, we're trying to be hip with the kids,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yo,
we're getting
out,
up there.
Shout out to the kids for Shizzle.
And screw you, Bulbasaur.
Hit us up on Musical.ly.
We got to stay current, yeah.
Yeah, it's all about staying relevant.
Oh, and speaking of, well, not speaking of staying relevant, but, you know, bring it back a little. Nice segue. I cannot find any sort of gameplay rules, like overtime or even regular.
Well, we appreciate your efforts. Yeah. We appreciate you.
Like, the closest I came was, like, I think they had, like, in the shootout demo for NHL 17, they had, like, the gut players wearing the tournament jerseys.
Oh,
that was it.
Okay.
So. Alexander McKay, we're giving you homework. Help us out. Help us out with this rule. What's going on with overtime?
He's
in
the official
World Cup
podcast researcher. Yeah, he just doesn't know yet.
Yeah, he doesn't know. We unfortunately have no money to give him for doing that, but he gets to be a friend of the show.
Yeah. Hey, again, like I always say, being a friend of the show is worth more than anything.
It really is, and there's nothing more to say about that.
And those t-shirts will be coming. Friend of the show t-shirts.
How far are we in?
We're 58 minutes.
Oh, so okay. We still have a little time. Because I have so much more to say about jerseys, but...
Oh, yeah, let's get... No, I'm into it.
I don't want to make this the jersey pod when it's supposed to be at the World Cup. Yeah. Well, hey. And oh yeah, so here's the thing I want to say. I like the Sharks throwback jersey. I really do. But it's so... Like, okay, here's the thing. I'm not a Sharks fan, right? So I don't have the nostalgic thing going on. It kind of doesn't work anymore as like a full-time jersey.
Do you think it's dated?
It looks a little dated. Like,
I can see that.
Not in a bad way, but like the design is a little plain. The logo is cool, but it's just not like, I like the logo they have now. Like,
I do too.
It grew on me.
The thing is, it sounds like they're changing the logo the next time. Like, it sounds like...
Oh, right. But
in a year or two, they're going to be... You know, changing their jerseys and definitely, you know, the logos that they came out with.
But it's a bit of a tweak, though. It's not as drastic as last time around.
Well, also the guy who designed the logos that they just released on Twitter, they're going to be on shirts and, you know,
so that logo. Stuff. What? There's no stick anymore, or what's the deal?
No, there's no stick.
Really?
It actually looks a little more like
a shark.
Yeah.
But see, yeah, because that was the criticism of this
shirt. But it was designed by the original guy who did the original
logo. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No, but see, I'm actually in favor of ditching the stick.
Really?
Again.
I mean, it doesn't look bad without the stick, but that stick is, like, it's always been there, man. It's like that friend that it always has your back, because it's always been there.
No disrespect, all love and respect to the original logo, the current logo, the bitten stick, but I just think... If I had to choose, I'd rather make the shark look a lot cooler than, like, have a stick. See, like, yeah, so Joe right now, for those who aren't here, which is everyone, is showing me the new logo. So the new shark, it looks a lot more fierce, first of all.
It does.
It looks a little less anime, cartoonish. The teeth are a lot more menacing.
Yeah, they are.
That's
what I
noticed.
This
is a superior logo.
This looks like a shark that just lost the Stanley Cup. Like, it looks mad.
Wow.
And honestly, with the first one here...
I think we've mentioned that every pod, but yeah.
I'm not over it.
they said there's like... Randy said...
It's
I think,
sick.
I think Randy Ha on Twitter posted this, and he said that his favorite part was the SJ incorporated into the logo. And I see the S down here, but I do not know where the J is.
I wouldn't even thought... I mean, is it like the whole thing is a J? Like if you start from the fin and downward? I don't know. But... I think it's smart of them to just release it and see what their reaction is, because you don't want to sell anything that people aren't going to like.
It sounds like this is going to be like promotional gear and whatnot.
Yeah, no, I think it's better than what they have now.
It is.
And you could throw in the stick, like, sure, throw Nick a bone, you know?
Would it help if they made it a composite stick instead of a wood stick? would that help bring you back, or no, you're not into it?
Or just, like, make the stick a little more subdued, because right now it pops too much with
the orange. I wonder if they got tired of that joke about
choking.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, the sharks choke, and then it's just like an X-ray, and it's just like that bit of the stick caught in the shark's throat.
See, this is a struggle I'm not aware of. Yeah. Well, see, I deal with the Habs logo being a toilet bowl, so I think that might be a little worse.
I've never actually heard that.
I've never heard that either.
Really? It does look like a toilet seat.
Oh, yeah, because if you look at it...
It's a bird's eye view.
Yeah.
And then someone shit an H.
Yes. Yes. Well, okay.
On that note.
I think we could probably talk jerseys for the rest of the night, because we've done that in the past. But it's been a great pod. Our World Cup preview, because I guess that's what we were talking about to begin with.
Yeah, oh, yeah, were we?
Is rolling along, super pumped for the World Cup, super pumped for hockey. Like, I said this in the last pod, but I'll reiterate it. Just watching games again, man. Like, that is a powerful thing.
Yeah.
I'll have something to do, like, when I'm off work.
Yeah, no, it bears repeating. There's only so many times that I can watch, like, replays of games.
Yeah, so. It'll be cool to have games to dissect and write about and talk about. It's going to be great. And it's going to be fun to have an audience to share it with.
Yeah.
You know, everyone submitting questions. Thank you so much. Everyone listening to the pod, downloading on iTunes, hopefully leaving a review. Thanks to everybody. So, yeah, pumped. Nick?
Very excited for it.
Lead us out.
All right, guys. Thank you all for listening to another episode of the Garage Hockey Podcast. Like Felix said, we're on iTunes and Stitcher. Hopefully, you'll check us out there and leave a review. It takes no time at all.
So we can buy new gear and stuff.
Yes, it'll push us up in the charts so that we will be more noticed and more people will find us and hopefully enjoy us.
Yes.
Like you all have so far. Because that's probably why you're listening, because you enjoy us.
Yeah, or if you hate listening, like it kind of... It works out either way.
You know what? We'll be your hate lover.
We will take your constructive criticism.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
But aside from that, you can also tweet us on Twitter, at Garage Hockey Pod.
That's where tweeting happens.
That's where tweeting happens.
Except for those people that do it in real life.
Yeah. Yeah. Hashtag real life hashtagging.
I can't tweet in real life. I'm a little bothered now. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
But, we got to get out of here.
Yes. But hit us up on Twitter at Garage Hockey Pod. If you want to join the discussion and comment on anything that we talked about, we're also on Facebook and on Snapchat. So until next time, thank you for listening.